Hey, my friends, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests, help you lead a more positively minded life. Things of interest, whatever it is that affects your mind. What does affect your mind? You know? How many different things affect your mind? The other day, I was driving by somewhere in the city, and I saw an elderly couple, a woman getting out of a car, and I was driving. She was getting out of a cab, and she was about to help somebody out of a cab. I assumed her husband, who may have been a little fragile. But she had a look of terror on her face. The look of terror she had was one that said, anything can happen at any time, and this is a dangerous world for us, the fragile. And if she's had a husband who she was protecting, just as well have been a mother protecting her child, but a mother feels more able. She was saying, I may be broken, but he's more broken. So I'm going to take care of him. And she had that look on her face. I wanted to go out there and put a wall around her to protect her. I wanted to give her a guardrail shield, those of you who remember. I wanted to have protection because she was so frightened. So I thought about New York and I thought about Manhattan. And I was thinking about Manhattan itself, the island. You know, the name Manhattan, unrelated to what I'm going to be talking about, comes from the word Manahatta, which was written in 1609 by Robert Jouet, who was an officer on the Henry Hudson yacht. And he wrote this thing called Manahatta, which means Island of Many Hills. And that's why it was called Manhattan. And it comes from the Lenape language, which is Unami. Yeah, Unami. You know, it's fun, strangely enough, sounds like fragrance. That's an extinct Algonquin language formerly spoken by the Lenape people in what was now Lower Manhattan Valley. Lenape is a word in the Unami dialect, which means, literally translation into English would be the common person. So Manahatta was a Lenape word for the island of many hills, which is the island of Manhattan. Now, don't you think that's fascinating? I lived here my whole life. I never knew it, but it's got a lot of hills. Did you ever see the hill on 101st Street? Whoa, what a hill. My grandmother used to live up there. We were kids. We would have to climb that hill as kids with our books to get up to see Grandma. How did Grandma ever do it? But you know what's a funny thing about Grandma? She didn't have to walk around with that look of terror in her face. It might have been a safer environment, or she might have just felt safer. Did you know that Manhattan is the smallest yet most densely populated of the five boroughs? It consists of five islands. Roosevelt Island, besides Manhattan Island, Randall's Island, Ward's Island, Governor's Island, no more than that, Liberty Island, Ellis Island, and Utaunt Island. Utaunt Island. What is Utaunt Island? Well, if you ever go up the East River Drive, you see opposite the UN in the river, there's this little strip of land. This little strip of land is called Utaunt Island. It also used to have Marble Hill up in the Bronx. 1,634,000 people living in a land area of 22 square miles. That's all Manhattan is, 22 square miles. Widest at 14th Street. No, widest at 14th Street. Around 14th Street, it runs about 2.5 miles wide. And it's a very incredible city. But when you go through a city like this, when you get something this dense, this populated, this small, it tends to accentuate a lot of the feelings and things that you could observe. I mean, how many cultures are there in Manhattan? A friend was asking the other day, how many different cultures are there? In that 1,629 people estimate in Manhattan, that's just Manhattan, out of a city which has 8,300,000 people, and the state has 19 million, so we're figuring Manhattan itself is about one-tenth of the entire state of New York in population. So you put all the people here. How do they behave? How do they look? So I started seeing, as I said, I was talking about this lady who I saw. By the way, you want to know an interesting thing? From where I live, every now and then, I could look down the street and I could see the sun setting in the west. And then I could look down the other side of the street and I see the sun coming up in the east. But you see, Manhattan doesn't have a direct north, south, east, west. When they talk about the east side, it's really northeast. And when they talk about the west side, they're talking about southwest. It's not as the grid runs. But some people call it Storehenge. They say that on separate occasions in late May and early July, the sun is aligned with the street grid lines, and the result is a sun that's visible at or near exactly from street level. That's why you see the sun down the street a couple of times a year. It also happens in January and December. Sunrise, January and December. Sunset, May and July. What does this have to do with psychology? A lot. Hey, when did you first get to Manhattan? How did you arrive here? You got a Manhattan story? We may give a few minutes to a number of callers a little later. What did you arrive here? What was your first impression of this city? Armand DeMille here with you at The Positive Mind. I was interviewed. It's a wonderful show called Home, H-O-M-E, the movie. There's a movie with Woody Allen and a number of other famous people in it. And they interviewed me for the movie, and you could get this movie on the internet. Home, the movie. It's about an Irish guy coming to New York and his perceptions, and I was interviewed for it. And they asked me about my perception of the city, and they asked, what did I know about Manhattan? And here's what I had to say. I said, New York City has a rhythm. Manhattan has a rhythm. And it has a certain rhythm, a beat that you have to kind of get used to. You know, the city moves, and if you listen to it carefully, you can actually hear thumpa 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 thumpa. Now, if you're somebody who has a sense of a slower rhythm inside yourself, let's say you're depressed, or let's say you're just lazy, or let's say you just come from a different world where people don't move at that speed, you feel anxious in this city because you feel like the city is kind of bring up your energy. And what it does is chemically, it's stimulating the parts of you that don't like being stimulated. Your amygdala goes nuts in Manhattan if you come from India, unless you came from the main cities of India. But if you have a slower temperament, Manhattan could just wind you up. Now, on the other hand, so people try to deal with the city's rhythm. And here's the deal. You can either get into the rhythm or not get into the rhythm. Now, if you get into the rhythm of Manhattan, you kind of do fine. But if you fight it, if you say it's too noisy, if you say it moves too fast, it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. What happens is people get here, they think they're going to succeed, but they fight it. They say, I'm going to be me in Manhattan. I'm going to close down my walls. I'm going to get double pane glass. I'm going to protect myself. Well, the city has its way of eating you up, chewing you up, and spitting you out. Gives you 2 years and then says, get out of here. the only way to survive in Manhattan is to move in the rhythm of Manhattan. Nowadays, people put on headphones and they try to create their own time, but they don't know it. They're playing the music for the city, because you can play all the calm music and you want, it just doesn't fit. This is Armand DeMille with you. So psychology is what we talk about here. And we're talking about the human mind. Back to my older couple crossing the street that looked terrified. Sometimes I see people of different cultures, new cultures, Asian cultures, who are in America, and they look like they don't speak English at all. They're in Manhattan. And they scurry around. They scurry and they scurry and they scurry. They're kind of moving from one place to the next. They consider Manhattan to be, the streets of Manhattan is something you're moving to get someplace from. Now, I know that doesn't sound unusual, but you know, it's not what Manhattan is. Manhattan is something you move through and you pick up something along the way. You see things, you hear things, you smell things, you taste things. Smell. Giant ingredient, right? And what happens to you when you move through Manhattan? You'd move through Manhattan, you go from one place to the next. It's a very exciting thing because you've picked up so much stimulation along the way. Some people grab a cab, close their eyes. Some people have limousines. But mainly, you can't avoid it. Every day you go from one spot to another, you get an education. Now, these other people, these other cultures I see, when they first get here, I guess I was like that in different countries. You're just moving from one space to the other. You don't want to become a target, you know? So you move real fast. And it's almost, did I see that man there a minute ago? Oh, no, he wasn't. Yeah, no, he's over there. No, and they scurry, scurriers. So I said, that's funny. It seems to be necessary. If you don't feel safe, then you kind of ducking out, you know, like night animals. Like animals that come out at night and they go and grab some food and they go rushing back into their holes because that's where it's safe. Like burrows in the burrow of Manhattan. You know, a burrow is an animal. You should read the story, The Burrow, by Franz Kafka. A wonderful story about depression, living privately. So then I started thinking, okay, let me see the other kinds of people. And I started looking around Manhattan, and I saw another older person, but this person was sitting on a bench and was absolutely content, felt fine, looked around, was there to look. And I said, what kind of bird would she be? And she was like an owl. An owl standing up, a lot of owls in Manhattan. The wiser, older people who feel that they could handle whatever happens. The owls. Well, if there are owls, then what other kind of folk are there? And I looked around and I was on 76th Street in Manhattan, which has a lot of people passing by, and I saw lots of people, and I saw peacocks. Now, a peacock is usually known as a male animal. Women talk about men being peacocks, meaning they feel so sure of themselves. But I saw male and female peacocks. Bright colors, flashy colors, very aware of themselves. You know, if they saw a reflection in a building, in a mirror, in a store window, they had to check themselves out. These peacocks, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way, because nature made you to be a peacock. Nature said to you, you have to attract the best mate possible. And it says, even if you're already mated, you still have to attract the best mate in case your mate dies. So it makes you look good when you're older. So peacocks go to gyms and they build themselves up. And they go to different places. And they look good. And they try to smell good. I once saw a lady who looked down at a puddle. And she noticed something about herself in the puddle. And she said, oh, I got to really take care of that. She was primping in a puddle. Hey. Other kinds of people I see around Manhattan, and which one are you, by the way, as I see a lot of pigeons. Now, pigeons are people, people who are pigeons are people who are looking for, they're kind of dashing in, dashing around, dashing. They try not to get in into the mix because they're always afraid they're going to get run over by cars. But they're in the city. They're walking around. They're in the parks, you know. Kids hanging out together. They descend on something. Oh, there's a noise. Let's go look at it. Oh, there was an accident. Let's go look. Pigeons, pigeons, pigeons. You know, take a bunch of $1 bills and drop them out of a building and watch the pigeons descend on them. You know, the people just come out and they go grabbing for it. Now, I thought there were ravens. But then I went even further and I saw eagles. An eagle is a kind of a self-centered man, person, feels really strong, very decisive. Not like a hawk, you know. There's a hawk, which is one personality. A hawk is someone who's ready to pounce down and grab whatever it sees that's vulnerable. That's a hawk. You walk around the city sometimes. You'll spot some guy on a street corner just looking. What can I grab? What can I do? What can I take? What can I eat? Who can I devour? Hawks. Eagles do the same thing, but they do it with class. Armand DeBell with you with the positive mind. To think I get paid for this. Actually, I don't get paid. This is WBAI. We don't get paid. We're here to serve. This is a place that I have been for over 20 years, serving the community. Now there's a new breed in town. Yep, brand new breed of bird. I didn't see it before. I'd see it occasionally. I call these people the parrots. The parrots are the people on cell phones. Yes, they're walking along talking. They're walking along and tap a 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 tap a. They're talking. They're talking, crossing traffic. They're talking to God knows who. I wish I could get a picture of all of the parrots, of all the people who are speaking to the people in the streets. You understand, somebody's crossing the street, and he's a young guy, and he may be talking to his girlfriend. And his girlfriend could be laying in bed, half awake. So you'd see a picture of her laying in bed. Then you'd look at another lady who was talking to her girlfriend at work. And you see somebody at work who's sneaking a phone call, because they shouldn't be talking from work. And then another person is speaking to someone else. So you realize out of the 1,000,006 people we have, if there was 1,000,006 of them on phones, there'd be another 1,000,006 right there in town, unless somebody's on a conference call. Then we have a whole bunch more. But these parrots, they walk around the street and they are walking and carrying on discussions and they're just yapping. And I don't mean it again in a derogatory way. It's the way it is. Nature was meant to be this way. People yap. And they like to yap. There's a special thing in Central Park. It's very special. There's a stoplight in Central Park. It's got a red, yellow, and green. And from the spring to the early summer, this straw appears in the yellow stoplight. The yellow one, the middle one, not the top one, not the bottom one. And the straw builds, and you can see it's hay. It's like nesting stuff. And then you see birds going in and out. And they're like these baby sparrows that live in the yellow nests in Central Park. And there are like four different stoplights in Central Park. And there are nests in every one of the yellow lights. So I guess, obviously, the Department of Parks doesn't consider it to be a bad thing. Because otherwise it would be cleaning it out. So they let them be. It's precious. It's part of what we are. So what kind of bird are you, my friend? Are you a robin? You know, a robin is easygoing. You engender kindness. You're a team player. Or are you a nester, you know, somebody who stays within your boundaries, never wanting to go out frightened of the world, or not even frightened. Let's just say reluctant to being in the world. Well, that's what I want to know. 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We've just had a month of marathons, and as you're soon to learn, program timing is going to become more scarce. So since this is the Positive Mind, and since this is part of our public affairs department, we like to take your calls. I love to speak with you people. But there are many changes going on at the station, and as we flow at them, you'll find these potential conversations are going to be less available as we go through our changes. So I want to take advantage of it today. 212-209-2900. You could go to your phones now, and we'll be taking your calls, and then we'll take calls, and I'll speak to each one of you, and I would love to hear about you. What I would really love to hear about is starter stories in Manhattan, the beginning, what it was like, your impression, what you felt and what you feel now. Is this your home? Is Manhattan your home? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Ralph from Hoboken, New Jersey. Very quickly.
Sure, Ralph.
The Statue of Liberty is in the boundaries of the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
So you said Liberty Island before.
Liberty Island is not in Manhattan?
No, I just looked on the internet before I called you. There's been a dispute in 1985, they got down to that it's in the boundaries of the state of New Jersey.
And
but
what
beyond,
Roosevelt
yeah,
Island?
On,
Roosevelt Island, Governor's Island.
Oh, well, those are way over there. That Governor's Island's been in New York. That was with the Coast Guard for over 100 years until they abandoned it about
Did you know about Youthant Island?
Nope, never heard of that one.
But you ever see it? Do you remember looking up the river and seeing it every now and then?
I don't know. I've sailed up the East River into through Hell's Gate into the Long Island Sound, but I didn't know all the islands I was looking at. I've been to City Island.
It's right there.
Yeah,
right there.
I
So how you're a Manhattan boy?
I was born and raised in New Jersey. I've lived in Hoboken 30 years, but I've been coming to Manhattan since I was 16, and the drinking age was 18, and we used to sneak in. Those are the stories. Sleeping in the Port Authority when it was too late to go home.
Well, you know, now that's a very big thing. Sleeping in the Port Authority when it was too late to go home. Boy, do I remember those guys.
And you could do that. They wouldn't bother you, and it wasn't that dangerous. I'm dating myself to 60s.
And what do they do now? Do you have any idea?
Oh, they chase you all the way down to the basement, and I always say it looks like that. If you remember the bar scene in Star Wars, do you remember the bar scene?
The bar scene in Star Wars, sure.
With all the monsters,
with all the creatures, right? Right.
That's what it is. That's what it is down there. It's
sounds
the
like an interesting place to go. Sounds
yeah.
like something I've got to do.
Oh yeah, you should go down there after like midnight. They put you down the bottom. All the buses come in down there, and it's quite an adventure.
I think I'm going to look forward to it. Want to join me?
Sure. I'll give you a call
at
the office. We'll go down.
Get a little group together, and we'll go down and hang out down there after midnight.
That should be on a New York tour. Listen, I don't want to take everybody else's time up in New York, because I'm calling from the continent.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, Armand. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. You know, if somebody asks me what to do with their visit to New York, I inevitably tell them Central Park on a Sunday. Just go to Central Park. You want to get every culture that exists. Well, I don't know if you get every culture that still exists. I don't know if every culture goes to the park, but I know that's the best place to get a picture. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. How are you?
Good, good. I'm glad I get opportunity to listen to your conversation, to your talk show.
Yes, yes. When
My name is Marie-Claudine Mkamabano. I'm from Rwanda in Africa.
Well, how long have you been here, Marie-Claudine?
I came 2005 in the summer.
In the summer of 2005, how old were you then?
I was about 26,
about 20.
27.
Yeah. So what was
The first time I heard about Manhattan, I was in my country, in Rwanda, when I won this scholarship to come to America as the first artist from my country, even from East Africa. So I was speaking to one of my friends, and then I showed to him this invitation, wonderful invitation. Then he said, oh, you're going to Manhattan? I was like, what? Because it was hard for me to pronounce Manhattan. And so then he told me that Manhattan is one of the wonderful, biggest city in New York. And then he said to tell me the beautiful things about Manhattan. I was like, I can't wait to go there to see Manhattan. So when I came to New York, I went to Manhattan. My first impression, according to what so many movies, I was thinking that every American citizen is tall, heavy, you know, like a movie star people. So in Manhattan, when I was walking in Manhattan, in my perspective, I was thinking that I would just walk among the tall people or healthy, you know, big people, like those people I had in my imagination. So I am tall. I'm about 5'10". So in my country, I was thinking that I would look them up. So I would be like short guy among of the Manhattan people, you know, American people in general. So I remember I was asking everybody I met in Manhattan that, where is American people? They were like, what do you mean? I was telling them, I mean the tallest people, the healthy people, like the people I saw in the movies. They were like, oh, you mean a movie star? You have to go to California. So that's my short story about Manhattan, about my impression.
And, you know, I think people have that impression about you now because you're here in New York and they figure that everybody, you must be one of those tall movie stars. So how do you like it? Let me ask you something. How do you like it? What's your feeling about Manhattan? Do you love it or not love it?
I love it. I love Manhattan. I love New York City, but I love Manhattan because I like the way you said that the people there are so fast. So I grew up in not big city like New York, but a small city, capital of Kigali in Rwanda, but we walk fast. So I get the connection. It was easy for me to get adapted to the rhythm of the city.
Exactly. Because you can hear that rhythm in your voice. See, I can hear you have the rhythm of Manhattan in your voice.
Thank you.
So you're now, by the way, by being on the radio, you've become a radio star. So you became the person you were searching for. This is it.
Wow.
Wow, you got it, Maria. You got it.
Thank you. I didn't know. Thank you for making me got it.
Well, if you go back to our website, and if you go to The Positive Mind or you go to WBAI.org and you listen to the program, you can send the program to your friends in Uganda and you can say, here I am on radio.
Wow, I will do that. Oh, guess what? Go to my website too. It's www.whydoiexist.org.
Whydoiexist.org. I sure will check that out.
Yes, and check out what I'm doing to help the orphans of Rwanda, the survivor of genocide.
Thank you so much.
And I heard that your radio is like public radio. Maybe one day I will come to talk to you about what I do in terms of helping the kids in Rwanda. And also my next motivation speaker, public speaking engagement, it will be December 2nd in New Jersey on one of Catholic high schools. Maybe I will give you more details.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. All
right. We're going to take a short break. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here in WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, where it's never, never too much. But it is autumn. And it is autumn in Manhattan.
Autumn in New York.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds and canyons of steel. They're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise of new love. Autumn in New York is often mingled with pain. Dreamers with empty hands may sigh for exotic lands. It's autumn in New York. It's good to live it again. Autumn in New York, the gleaming rooftops at sundown. Autumn in New York, it lifts you up when you're let down. J.D. Rue and Gay Divorcee, who lunch at the Ritz, will tell you that it's divine. This autumn in New York transforms the slums into Mayfair. Autumn in New York, you'll need no castle in Spain. Lovers that bless the dark on benches in Central Park greet autumn in New York. It's good to live it again.
Billie Holiday. Billie Holiday, who I met when I was a kid. I remember Martin Short, I think his name was. He lived on 8th Street, and he was a manager. And I was one of those kids who hung around the jazz joints. And his name wasn't Martin. It was another Short. Anyways, he invited me up, and she was there. Got a chance to talk to her, and she did not have a gardenia in her hair that time, but I did see her later at Birdland with a gardenia. And such a gentle soul. Such a gentle soul. That kind of a bird that was just like fragile. And you could see the fragility. And you wondered how long she could exist. You know? Because I see that with some of the people in New York. You wonder how long can they make their way through. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm a real New Yorker. I mean, I've been here forever. Been on this island. I know every street corner. Nothing's unfamiliar. 212-209-2900. Let's hear one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand, how are you?
I'm good.
Long time no speak. This is Austin from Jersey.
Austin, how nice. Can you turn your radio all the way down, Austin?
It's completely off, sir.
Oh, it is.
You're getting feedback?
Yeah, I'm getting feedback.
Let me throw the cordless phone away now. Maybe that would... Is it any better now?
It's much better.
Okay, great. Oh, boy. You know, Armand, I'm just starting to discover Manhattan now. I grew up in the Chelsea section of Manhattan, and I grew up sort of like in... culturally not knowing anything. My parents were Philistines, and I mean that in the best sense of the word. I'm not condemning them. I mean, I'm just sort of painting a picture of who they were. They didn't understand anything about culture. I grew up within spitting distance of Greenwich Village, yet it was this, I might as well have grown up on the dark side of the moon. So people who come to New York to sort of try and make their mark make me uncomfortable because they may naturally assume that I have this worldliness that I don't possess. And I think a lot of people who grew up in New York were born in New York. And in the documentary Home, there are examples of this. So people said people from New York wish they had a New York to go to because they didn't necessarily grow up in a household where culture and piano lessons and appreciation of art and Gypsy the Museum was part of their growing up experience. So you can grow up in New York and you can grow up culturally deprived. And there's very things more, you know, there's one thing to be a deprivation and a privation. You know, when you're deprived of something that's there and it can't be touched, that's much more painful than a privation where no one has access to something. So everybody, and of course, when you're growing up, you're not cognizant of this in the way as you are afterwards in retrospect.
But you know, Austin, take it a step further, though. You grew up, which was in Chelsea, you said, right?
Right.
I remember I grew up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and I had no idea what took place above Stuyvesant Town. You know, I said, ooh, I don't go up there.
That's another land.
That's another land at the beginning. But what I wanted to ask you, Austin, was you were isolated in your own family, too.
Heck yeah.
It's the way the family was, too, that kind of made you feel like you were a part of the world or not a part of the world.
Well, I think, and this may be a little precious on my part, but I think I was the designated scapegoat and black sheep. And I think there are subtle distinctions between the two, scapegoat and black sheep.
That's right.
And I think one side of the family, I was one, and the other side of the family, I was the other. And I became that. And to this day, those things are not healed, and I don't have any illusions. Sometimes you have to make your own family.
So
right?
Part of what's healing in coming back to Manhattan is you allowing yourself to own it, because part of what alienated you was this miserable kind of upbringing, you know. So welcome back.
That was it, precisely, Armand. I couldn't distinguish from the fact that, and you'll see it in the email that I just sent you. Pardon me for tooting my horn here, that growing up in New York wasn't so much the culprit, but my suffering could not be disconnected completely from New York because I didn't grow up in any place other than New York, obviously.
Sure.
You grow up where you grow up. So the associations of pain, even though they probably had a lot more to do with the family situation than New York itself, I can't completely take New York out of that. But now I can more objectively look at things and see New York with new eyes. Armand, can I say one more quick thing? This is very important.
Sure, go ahead.
Yesterday was the year anniversary of the death of Toni Short, who was a producer at NBAI. She became very close to me. I was very good friends with her. And she was almost like the surrogate sister I never had. You know, I'm an only child, and she and I had a complicated, stormy friendship. But it was wonderful because we opened our souls to each other. We talked about a lot of things that I think none of us probably ever talked with other people. And I so dearly miss her. You know, she's gone a year ago as of yesterday. I treasure the relationship that I had with Toni Short while we were here the last 10 years of her life.
Isn't that funny? Of all things I mentioned today, I said Martin Short, and I was trying to remember.
Mm.
It's like it almost came through. Yes.
Well, there you go. The universe synchronicities there. Sure.
So, Austin, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure, thank you. 212-209-2900. He's a real special part of our program, Austin. He sends me emails with very valuable ideas, concepts, perceptions, as I hope many of you do. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. My name is Linda. I was born in Manhattan. But more importantly, I was at the showing of Home. Remember you gave a showing?
Oh, sure. The one, which one?
I was there.
And at at Lincoln Center or the one in Brooklyn? We had one in Lincoln Center and
It must have been Lincoln Center.
Yeah, Lincoln
Center. But I'm not sure. You must do that again.
Do what?
Give us a film. Let us all get together at a film.
Yeah, because you enjoyed meeting the people?
I enjoyed meeting you, and I enjoyed having the discussion, and I enjoyed seeing the film, and I enjoyed everything.
Yeah, it was a nice gathering. I imagine, you know, what I want to do is I want to get some T-shirts or caps made that say the positive mind, because there's something about the people who listen to this program. The camaraderie is amazing. I guess why would they not listen if they didn't have good hearts?
And,
go ahead.
And what you talk about is amazing also. And, you know, where else in the world can we hear stuff like this? And can we call in and talk?
Yeah.
And it's really appreciated. And anyway, I was born in Manhattan. I don't live in Manhattan now, but to drive through and just see all the different kinds of changes, especially where I grew up, which was like 110th and Manhattan Avenue, it's, you know, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of, you know, life changes, things change.
Things change.
Yep.
And that was a beauty. You know, one of the things I liked about the film, I didn't like about the original version of the film, the later version of the film was much better, was that it was kind of like everybody who was talking about Manhattan was talking about how they regretted the changes. But see, I see Manhattan as a changing entity. I don't expect it to stay the same. If I live in a tall building and another tall building goes up taller than my building, I don't sit there and say, oh, my God, how horrible, taller building.
Right.
You know? I mean, even this radio program changes. We go from being a certain number of days to another number of days. It's changing, but change is part of what life is about. And Manhattan is what life is about. It's about change.
Change is part of life, but it's hard to realize it.
Absolutely. I'd rather we all stay the same and never get older and nothing ever changes.
Stuff.
But I don't think I really want that.
Yeah.
Thanks
okay,
for calling
thank you.
In. Thank you. 212-209-2900. Precious people. Yeah, that was quite an opening we had. Hundreds of people showed up for this opening at Lincoln Center at the Helen Hayes Theater or somewhere. And we had we're doing a showing of the film. It was very exciting. Very exciting. And we got up on stage afterwards and spoke about it. 212-209-2900. Another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeBell.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my name is James.
Hello, Jim.
And I'm calling from the Bronx.
I like the Bronx.
I like the Bronx, yeah. Although it was frightening for me when I initially came last year.
You came here for the first time last year?
Yeah, I'm a student. I'm a Fulbright student. I'm at Fordham University.
Wow. So was it very scary? I mean, did you think you were going to get attacked every day? What did you think? What did it feel like?
Well, my fear was born out of the images created by the media. You get a sense of feeling that the Bronx is one vast war theater where killing is a commonplace. You know, so when I initially came, that sense of paranoia, I hardly go out except go for classes and then come back home. But I'm fine. I'm okay now.
Yeah, but at the beginning, huh? At the beginning, it's very scary. I imagine a lot of people would have felt that way. You know, that it was very frightening. You know, it takes a while to open
very scary. When I initially came to the States, I just want to talk about my impression about Manhattan.
Yes, tell me.
I came last year in June and on a Fulbright scholarship, and then we went to Ohio University in Athens. Athens is a very small city in Ohio. And then I was there for 3 months for what they call a pre-academic program. And then eventually I came over to New York in August. I went to New Jersey, and very early in the morning I was supposed to attend an orientation program at the Graduate School of Art and Sciences at Fordham University, the Roseville campus. I traveled by train from New Jersey. When I arrived at the Penn Station, oh my God, I thought the world is coming to an end. It was during the rush hour. And I kind of like thought of what she said. The reading was so high, it was so fast, that I thought, how could I survive in this city? But eventually I got accustomed to the reading, and now I'm moving, I'm fine, I'm very comfortable, you know, with Manhattan. That's one of the most exciting places for me in the entire United States.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. Now you can feel it and you don't feel afraid of it. But
us. I try to go there almost every week from the Bronx. That's the place I go, and I have a sense of changing an environment. It's quite different from the Bronx.
Quite amazing. Have you been up to Arthur Avenue?
Alto Avenue?
In the Bronx, yeah.
I assume by Alto Avenue.
Yeah. It's to me, that's an amazing part of our city.
Yeah.
One of the strange things. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Open your heart. Let me take another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing, Armand?
I'm great.
Where do you get your patience from? Because I would have hung up on that guy as soon as he... I don't know where you get your patience from. You got a heart of gold. You got a great show. I wish it was on longer, but that last guy was putting me to sleep. I didn't even know what he was saying.
Yeah, well, some people do that. You know, some people talk at their own pace. And sometimes what I do is I listen to the song that comes from the inside of their heart if I don't understand the words too well. You know,
yeah,
that's part of what happens. And it's like your voice right now. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and I said,
so do you. You really have a great voice. I love listening to your show. You help out so many people. I just wish you were on longer.
Yeah, you know, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to make the program shorter. I was just told by the station that they're going to be cutting out one of the days because they have some new adventures coming on, which is a pity. It's a pity.
But, that's a shame. That really is a shame. I loved listening to your show, and I just want to say thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'll still be here.
Okay, I'll still be listening.
Thanks a lot for calling
in. Thank you. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to just...
Could you turn your radio off?
Yeah, I can do that right away.
Thank you very much.
Got it. I used to go when I was 12, 13, 14. I used to take the subway from Queens. I lived in Queens into the city. And I'd go around 42nd Street. And I used to see the young girls and the women. And they were so beautiful and so well-dressed. It was intoxicating.
Amazing.
I was like drunk. I was really.
It was a drug, mainly the smell. It's like it goes in the air, and you hit that.
It was the smell and the sight and the way they looked and the way they moved around. It was the whole
amazing,
thing.
Amazing. Imagine that thing. For an innocent man walking.
And now I'm more than 70 years old, and I still remember that.
Yeah, but you still probably have got it in your bones.
I still have it in my bones. I still keep going to the city all the time.
Sure, you sound like somebody who enjoys all of the passions of life.
I do.
Yeah, well, so I guess age doesn't make much of a difference, does it?
Not really. Just
a little bit. What's your name, by the way?
Bob.
Bob, I want to thank you for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
212. You know, intoxicating. You talk about intoxicating. So there's a subway stop at 77th Street and Lexington Avenue. And I was in an apartment looking down at the subway stop with a friend of mine. And we were figuring it was around 4:30, 5 o'clock. And every 10 minutes, a number of people came out. And there were four exits to the subway stop, one on the north corner, one on the south corner, one on the east corner, one on the west corner. So four exits, and we're counting the number of people that came out. And every 10 minutes, a new train would come out. And we figured how many people were coming in 1 hour out of the subway. And we counted 10,000 people. Tens of thousands of people exiting, coming back home from work between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock on a workday afternoon. How is that possible? If you were selling something and you stood there with a leaflet, you know, who needs signs? Who needs advertisements? 10,000 people. In 1 hour, crossing one path. And of course, every face is different. I once had a man who came in from Tibet, and he stayed in my apartment, and he looked down at that subway stop. Now, he was from Tibet, and he had never been to New York, and this is back in the 60s. So I had left him there, and I came back, and I asked him what he thought about the city from this little terrace that he overlooked the city. And he said to me, just one thing I don't understand. And he pointed down to the subway. He said, why do people go down that place, change their clothing, and come up the other side? So he was convinced that everybody was walking down the subway, not knowing there was a subway there. He thought it was locker rooms because he was used to lockers. And he thought they were changing their clothes and coming up the other side. And he said he could track each person. I thought it was fabulous. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Keith, the cab driver.
Hey, Keith. How are you, Keith? Oops, are you still there, Keith?
And you talked about Marble Hill, right?
Yeah.
At one point, that's where I grew up.
Yeah, Marble Hill used to be Manhattan. Now it's the Bronx. Right.
As a matter of fact, what happened is there's a line that went right through my projects from as the borderline of the Bronx and Manhattan.
And you could stand on that line and be from both places.
I could stand on that line. I could just cross like there was a little park. And if I crossed one side of the park, I was in Manhattan. The other side, I was in the Bronx. It was so great. That place was so wonderful. Spike and Dive was right up there with the... the Hudson River, and the Hudson River used to always flow. The elevated train was right there also.
Sure.
It passed right by my building, and so when you're watching television, you had to always know when to jump up and turn the volume up.
Yeah, and when you're sleeping too, you have to know when that train's coming.
Well, actually, that you get used to that. Yeah, I just got you get used to that. It's just like that doesn't really affect. That didn't really affect me after a while. And Marble Hill was so... the one thing that was, like, really great about it is that we had a marble season. So that everybody would come out during this marble season and we'd all shoot marble.
Wow, that's what Marble Hill was.
Right?
That's great, Keith.
I guess that's why they called it Marble Hill. That's what I always thought while I was growing up. But that was a wonderful place about Manhattan. The other thing that I remember about Manhattan so well was that when I was growing up, my father and my parents took me down to Times Square, and I just remember that big sign with the camel man blowing the smoke rings.
Right, that big puff of smoke.
Yes, he used to blow smoke rings. It was a camel sign, and he used to blow smoke, these gigantic smoke rings out of his mouth. That was my first real great impression of Times Square, and it all stuck with me.
Keith,
you know,
I want to thank you very much for calling you. It's all great.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
It's nice. It's nice that people in Manhattan get a chance to have their voices heard. Because, you know, so often in Manhattan you can feel insignificant. But whether you agree with what a person says or what they don't say, you can always hear the heart, you know? And I love that. Hey, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Be sure to stay with us. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
House music. I just remember one thing.